3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Yeah, I gotta put on my good sweatpants.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. With the strong link, go direct to DLNTS.org. And IC Challenge, the LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1029 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Sure you do.
And we have Dynamic Dave.
Hello.
Yeah. You know, last week how I went and said I refigured out the problem that I had before and with, SED on Mac or FreeBSD SED. I went to put the finishing touches on it the next day and realized that all that work that I did was for nothing because, and I believe I had mentioned this, it was for pulling the Okta certificates out of Vault and putting them into the, config, wp-config.php for WordPress. And it turns out Dingus, even though he was making it so that you can have connect to the development, staging, or prototype staging environments, didn't realize at the time that that doesn't mean you need the staging and prototype staging Okta certificates, because it's only switching what environment it's connecting to on our services end. It's still the same local development environment that is using the same certificate. So I had to rip all that back out and just pull the certificate as it was before and using it for all the configurations, which kind of bummed me out because, that was kind of fun to do, but a waste of time in the end. And that's that. And then I spent the rest of the week working on JavaScript crap in a React Next environment. Love it, love it, love it to death, right? That's about the long and short of it. I guess contrary to like Joe, I find sometimes I'm in the same boat as you, Joel, that once I'm done with work, I have little time I want to spend doing more technology stuff. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I would love to get more into the electronic side and doing mucking around with Arduinos and circuits and stuff like that. Building stuff, but it's just
it feels like work.
It's hard. No, it's hard to find the time, especially when you have kids.
Yep.
Right, Dave?
I guess.
Dave's retired now, so he's got all the time in the world.
It's just him and his wife and occasionally his grandchildren.
And then when he's not, yeah.
At the grandkids 4 days a week.
How many?
One.
Oh, I thought you said grandkids. I was going to say.
Grandkid. One.
Yeah. Wait till more
you
comes
know what,
along,
though?
Right?
The best thing about them? Well, the best thing about grandkids is you can send them home.
Oh, yeah. But he's not old enough to just get all sugared up and send him home all hyper. Not 6 months old yet, but he's getting there.
Is that what you're waiting for?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of revenge?
A little spoiling? Here's what you do. When he's old enough to get into the, those, trucks and stuff that used to, you know, that our grandparents used to buy our kids, you know, that made all the friggin' noise. You buy that for your grandson. He'll love it. And your daughter will hate you. For 5 minutes.
The most irritating toy I've ever bought for one of my kids was a Furby.
You didn't like it?
Oh, it was just, it made too much noise.
I bought this toy called Squawky. It was a parrot that talked that also had, like a controller that you could talk into.
That would repeat itself and all that? Oh yeah. My god.
It was loud and annoying.
Did one of your kids want it, or did you just get it for them?
This was when my eldest was probably, I think it was her second. My battery's dying. But, no. Me and my wife were separated at the time, and I wanted to get the most annoying toy that I could possibly find for my daughter. I succeeded admirably.
Now see, the most annoying thing I ever got my son is bullying equipment, because that seems like that's all we ever. He has probably over 100 pounds of bowling balls in his room. Easy.
Well, I don't remember the year, but I know my parents probably regretted getting me that pale handheld electronic football game. It was just the LED lights.
Yes, sir.
Made a lot of racket.
You know what my dad did with mine? He took a file. And he filed a notch in the battery door, and he got one of them 9-volt power supplies so that I can go sit connected to the wall. that way it would never run out of batteries. It saved him so much money.
Oh, I thought it was in one place, so you weren't quite as mobile with it following around.
I wouldn't have been mobile anyway. I still have that too. It's actually, I have that one, and then I have what was it, 2000 something when they brought out the remake. The remake is not as good. But it still works, and my other one, kinda works. Well, I think what I need to do is I need to get some, capacitors and recap it. Cause, you know, it's what? See, 70 something?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like 78 or somewhere around there. I know I had it when the first place I remember as a kid was Vandergrift, Pennsylvania, which is not all that far from Pittsburgh. And that's where I remember playing it the most. Because we got that, and I got like a Sears Auto Racing one. And I'm trying to remember, there's that one, a couple of those mechanical ones, like Tomy's Digital Derby.
Slot racing?
Don't.
Slot
racing. Car racing. Yeah, it was,
the slotted tracks?
We had those. We had my dad liked the FX, and that's what he bought instead of Tyco, which is what everybody and their brother had. But I will say this, the AFX stuff was more reliable than Tyco.
We had the G-Force working cars.
Yep. But I remember those. I wish they still had is my dad did some of it. We never did. But you ever see the really big ones at the hobby shops? They had this big track and
I never saw them.
Oh, yeah. You bought the only thing you had to bring your own controller, which they sold, of course, and a car. And the car was HO scale instead of like the N scale, I think. It was bigger than the ones you had at home. Those were a blast. What we'd do is we'd take all of our straights and divide them up in the half, you know, and then we put two curves on either end, and we put our car at one end and let her go, man. That thing would go flying across the room. Then, of course, you know, we would go whine to my dad, hey, daddy, can you fix this? Because we weren't smart. It was still a blast, though. And Hot Wheel tracks, too. Yeah, I had to, we had to, it was a, had like a launcher, then it had a loop-de-loop and a jump.
Hot Wheels.
Yep. And we would see how many rubber bands we can put on that thing and see how fast we can get our car going. We'd have about 4 or 5 rubber bands on that thing before we, you know, before it got to be too much where you couldn't pull it back. They don't make that stuff anymore. We had a Hot Wheel track with a T handle. You had to time it just right.
Yeah, yep. I was real little. I mean, 5, 6 years old. It looked like a gas tank. You had a filling station or a gas station. Yeah. And the Hot Wheels had like this little tiny RCA plug, like a phono plug looking thing. Plug it in there and you press a button, it would charge it somehow. I know eventually Hot Wheels had these tanks tanks you could fill with gas or something, but.
Weren't they like a battery?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think.
I
don't know how they worked and I can't find anything about them, but.
That was some of my favorite, toys was that. And then one year we got something from Milton Bradley called the Starbird. Now that made a racket. it had a laser button on it, and then it made a motor engine, like a motor noise. And if you tilted it up, the noise would accelerate. If you tilted it down, it would decelerate. It was fun. I think that was just before all the Star Wars toys started coming out. Heck, it's hard for me to believe here. I got one more week of work before Christmas. I'm working next week, and then I got the week after that off up until the 26th. I think I'm due back at work on the 27th. I'm going to end up taking my laptop with me just in case something happens, so, because a lot of people are going to be out.
But not you?
No, I'm out. I'm out too. It's just in case something happens.
When do you start?
You know, and
when are you out?
From the 15th through the 26th. The day after Christmas, we'll head back to Columbus.
Oh, from the 15th. Area. Man, you're taking a whole month off practically. I'm taking the 20th off to the end of the year.
I'm not heading down to my dad's until the 16th, though.
You're not taking the week off between Christmas and New Year's, are you?
No.
That's the difference.
Yep.
Ay-yi-yi-yi-yi.
I think I'm actually on call that week, too, once I'm back in town. It should be fairly quiet though. Till the new year starts, and hopefully we didn't uncover something today. Been struggling with one of our clients has been having some performance issues.
Well, that's not good.
And of course, they didn't test it well enough, obviously, because it probably, I'm guessing, we'll find out tomorrow probably, but I'm guessing they probably had the same problems in non-production, but it just wasn't as noticeable, you know, because people ain't using it. But what I think might have happened is we got a new, like, brand new version of the, it's a self-service interface to the application. Students use it, employees can use it, stuff like that, alright? And, there's associated updates on the core server that you have to have installed before you can upgrade to the new one. Well, when they put the latest releases out, they put the in support of releases on the core server for the new version that they're not on yet. All right, so they're on an older version of the API and self-service servers, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. We're gonna have a call at 10:30, and we're gonna do some replication and gather more logs and stuff like that. But we'll see if that's the issue or not. The new version requires .NET 6, and the engineers, they don't want to upgrade. You know, they don't want to put the new .NET. They're basically going to build new server on a server 2019 or whatever it is before they deploy the new version. So none of my clients have it in the managed cloud. This now our SaaS clients, they already have the new version. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if what we find tomorrow. Hopefully we've got like hell half the company on it probably. At least it seems that way.
All right.
You don't have a lot of the, yeah, unlike, in your case, Dan, it's not like our SaaS side of the house. They build new servers for every new release. So, and they just have a theming engine so that the client sites will look like it comes from that college or whatever, you know. So instead of, having the same graphics on all of our, clients, you know. But, they just, whenever they need a new version, they just spin up a new server, spin down the old server, and they're good to go. But they're SaaS, that's software as a service, there's hardly any customization, makes it really easy. In my case, for the managed cloud clients, it's not like that at all, but. Cool. Well, I got a family party from my family up here. It's happening Saturday. I'm going to be doing some bacon and some basic cooking. I got a crock pot. I'm going to put some little smokies and barbecue sauce in it. And I got a sandwich platter ordered. And some people are going to bring stuff too, but we do that because we're never here at Christmas. We want to spend some time during this month with my wife's family. So we'll have them all over, and my wife's side has a bunch of birthdays this month too. Her dad and, her sister and my sister-in-law. So it'll be fun.
Up until yesterday, my wife, both my daughters, my grandson, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law were all going on a trip to Georgia for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and I was going to have all that time to myself. But my wife got sick, and she got got colitis.
Colitis?
Yeah, she's on some heavy duty medicine, and the doctor said she shouldn't go. She tried to cancel, but the place where she got this house is they won't let her cancel, so I get to go.
Where are you going?
Dahlonega, Georgia.
What are you gonna do there?
I'm gonna feel as possible.
he's gonna sit in the chair.
I'm gonna drive.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, who are you going with? Just yourself, or
no? It's a girls' trip. My wife, both my daughters, my mother-in-law and sister-in-law. It was planned trip was just for them to go off. But my mother-in-law is 94. My sister-in-law's in her 70s. My wife is the one that's, you know, leading this group around, but she's sick.
Uh-huh.
So I get to go and take
lead
care
the group
of her,
around.
Chaperone, yeah.
Oh, your wife's still going. I thought you were going to go in the place of your wife.
No. It's a bad situation either way. I wouldn't want to leave her here by herself, but she can't cancel the trip, so I need to go with her.
Just to make sure she's okay, I guess, huh?
I guess. She seems fine. She's in some pain, but hopefully she'll be feeling better. But I'm still going, so.
Well, that's
Dave
cool.
Just wants to find a place with some good barbecue. And
that's not even on my list, if I...
Well, see, it's in Georgia.
There's barbecue in Georgia, but so I was just in Dahlonega weeks ago. Me and my wife and this other couple went, you know, adults, and I wasn't planning on going back, but now I am.
Now, see, we're planning on a vacation right around 4th of July this coming summer, and I think the wife wants to go down Virginia Beach, but then I started looking at hotels, and, like, they're fucking ridiculous, man.
This time of year? Or July?
No, July.
Yeah.
It's like $300 a night, $200 a night, or more. I think I seen one that was like $500 a night, and I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. And then... You look a block or so away, and they're cheaper, but, boy, some of them are flea bags. Holy crap.
I mean, that whole area down there is pretty nice.
It is. I've been there, yeah.
I mean, it might not be the Ritz-Carlton, but it's a place to stay.
Right? Well, I found a La Quinta that's like two blocks from the beach. I wanted one right on the beach, but that's not going to happen. So, yeah, I think we're going to plan on doing a day over at Williamsburg. So I know that's like an hour away, but that's okay. You know, just some little things. I don't think we'll do a lot of the tourists. You know, we're probably going to, well, my main reason for wanting to go to Williamsburg is I want to go to the cheese shop. You ever go over there and get a sandwich, Dan? That place is awesome.
Where? The cheese shop?
Yeah, it's right outside the historic area down on the end where the church is. And it's like in a retail area. Let me tell you, you're going to get one of the best sandwiches you ever had there. Good stuff, man.
You know, I don't... Usually, I have not, in the past, I have not spent a lot of time in Williamsburg. That being said, this past month or two, I've been to Williamsburg probably
three
more
times
in the past month and a half than I have been in like the past 5 years. And that's largely because my daughter's has had swim meets that take place at one of the aquatic centers there. And I was surprised that we ended up in places I didn't even know existed in Williamsburg. Because that driving in Williamsburg is a nightmare. I think I always know where I'm going, but I don't go in the opposite direction of where I think I'm going, which is why, you know, my wife said, we really should be using Google Maps when we want to go to Williamsburg. Even when we think we know, like we're positive we know where we're going, we should know because we always get turned around. But the cheese shop, is that what it's called?
Yeah, put the
and
link
it's right
to place
outside
on the,
that, like, the historic district where you can't drive in.
Correct.
I have to, you know, I've probably seen it.
You probably have.
What's kind of weird is they have some nice restaurants in Williamsburg.
They have some nice ones in the district in that historic area too.
Yeah. So, but we've really only gone to the same restaurants that are in the one strip, like right outside the historic. Like that area is where we've been the most. So there's the Amber Ox, and then there's this place I forget what it's. There's a ramen place that looks pretty good that we've never been to. But then there's another one that's like. It allows you to bring, it's like something dog or whatever it is, and allows you to bring your dog in if you want to.
Oh, I think I know where you're talking about. Yeah.
So that's like primarily where we've been. There's another restaurant we went to that's like right in that area. But it's been a long time since I've been to the actual, old place, whatever they call it.
Yeah. The thing I like about, the cheese shop also has, like, some things that they have in the historic area, like you can get the root beer there and the ginger ale there. They're both really good. In the historic area, like when I went there when we got married, they didn't have this. I probably would have bought some then, because back then I drank, but they have beer in the historic area now too.
So what sandwich do you like to get? What sandwich do you like to get at the cheese shop? They got rid of Joel.
Yeah.
He guess he cut the cheese too many times, Dave. All right.
That's what I get when I browse.
What sandwich do you get when you go there?
Oh, that's a good question. It's been years since I've been, so I don't know.
They have the legendary cheese sop sandwich. Oh wait, that's just they're saying it. All their sandwiches are legendary.
Yeah. Basically. You can choose your meat, choose your cheese and what kind of stuff you want on it. So it's pretty wide open.
Wait, let me guess. I'm looking at their list of sandwiches. You get the corn dog, don't you?
Hell no.
A corn dog with a side of petroleum jelly. Right, Dave?
No. I probably would, if they had like an Italian listed on there. I love Italian subs, and I would probably do that.
Yeah, I love an Italian sub too, but I do not see an Italian sub on here. They have a salami and cheese.
The last few times we usually Saturdays are pizza day. All right, and the last few times I ordered a ten inch pizza that my son and I would split, and I'd also order one of their Italian subs. And let me tell you, oh man, it hits the spot.
From where?
We got a local pizzeria called Tammy's Pizza. It's good stuff.
You know,
there's nothing
you
like
what.
Getting an Italian sub from a local mom and pop restaurant. Let me tell you.
Oh yeah, so like I know it doesn't compare to what I get in Jersey, or right. Even up in PA.
Well, yeah, they have good hoagies up there. Yeah.
And like down here, it's really hard to get a good hoagie or a sub. And there are a few places that do it, but out of like all the places that I've been to, no, there's a small sub shop in Newport News that is, it is the chef's kiss. It is so good. But outside of that, Wawa is all right. Like, yep. It's on the better side, but Jersey Mike's. I do like Jersey Mike's Italian sub. They are good, too.
Yep.
I
don't have, a hoagie guy anymore.
He's out in Pennsylvania. Now, Dave's probably a Subway guy. I can see Dave going to Subway.
No.
Or Firehouse Subs.
You know what? At one point, Subway was good. I'm not exactly sure when it went bad, but I've not been satisfied the last two or three times I wanted Subway.
There's a local place, you know, that's Greek fast food restaurant. I mean, it's like a pizza o'clock. I don't know if y'all have those up there, but it's Tiger Town Subs. They got good subs, but Substation 2, I always like their subs.
Oh, wait a minute. Substation 2?
Yeah. Or 19 was good.
So the place I go to is Subway Station in Newport News, my man. So I wonder if they're related, right?
Probably not. I don't
think so either. But they're Southern.
Yep.
So what did they put on there, Dave? They put on possum, squirrel?
No, it's all the, enies and the onies. It's the Italian sub.
Oh.
Yeah. Capicola.
It's chipmunk. Salami. And groundhog.
I do get me Jersey. You know, well, here's the funniest thing. I get Jersey Mike's every once in a while. But the last few times I went into that to order something, usually Grubhub, I think, because I get most of the fees waived on Grubhub because I got Prime, all right, Amazon Prime. And
yeah, I figured.
The last few times I go in there, the only thing that I could order for delivery was like a pop and like their sides, like chips and shit. And I'm like, why can't I order a sandwich?
Substation 2 is Georgia, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia.
Okay.
One in Blacksburg, Virginia.
Oh, that's too far away, Dave. I ain't going to Blacksburg.
Oh, I was just near there.
Why don't you pick up a sub and mail it to me, and then I'll tell you how good.
There you go.
Now,
I've never been to a Penn Station yet. I've never been there yet. I've been wanting to there in Firehouse. I haven't been to a Firehouse yet.
I think Firehouse... Firehouse.
You didn't like it?
It's too wet. Like, okay. The couple of times that I've been to Firehouse, they just go insane on putting sauces all over it. And it's just, it's like,
now there's one
soggy.
Here. And I used to get it a lot when we were up at, in Dublin at the apartment because they were a lot closer. But there's a, it's gotta be a chain because there's at least two of them in the Columbus area, a place called DeBella's Subs. And they are so good.
Maybe it is.
Like,
now, Joel, I will tell you what, man. I actually used DoorDash last week.
Did you?
I do not normally do this kind of stuff.
Well, you do it again.
I will answer that question after I tell you why I did DoorDash.
Okay.
The sole reason I did DoorDash was because on Friday we had a hackathon where we got together in groups and we're knocking out tickets. And they gave us all $20 gift certificates for DoorDash.
Oh, there you go.
So we can order lunch while we're doing this. So I did. And apparently I had like, I don't know if I had money from another one or I had like $10 from DoorDash. So I had $30. And then the guy I was working with was handing me codes to knock off. So I got a $10 off code. So I ended up getting a
mess of food.
I ordered from Scrimp Shack because I was like looking at all the places and I didn't want to order too far away. I didn't know what I was like. Well, I don't usually like Scrimp Shack is right down the road and it's essentially like a fried seafood place. So I was like, all right, I don't usually get seafood when I go out because I make it myself.
right,
just as good. Usually I find, but they have pretty good stuff. And so I got this, combo special, which was whitefish and shrimp. And that was like $14. And then I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw on here a side of scallops. And that was like
there
another.
You go.
So it all came out to be like just a hair under $30, including the tip. And it was free. Like I didn't pay a thing for it. You know, so.
Doesn't
that
always
was nice.
Happen, though.
So I ordered it. And, I expected to have to wait a while, and I was surprised it came fast. Like, I got a message on my phone, and I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, it's here already. And it's like, they do the thing where they send you the picture of it sitting on your porch.
Right, right.
So I like, went out and got on the porch. It was good.
That's
it was
good.
Great. My only complaint, and again, I don't know if I went and got it myself, maybe not as bad. Like, it gets a little cold, especially if it's something fried. No, it wasn't bad.
Right, right.
But it was getting close to that point. But it was still good. The order was perfect. Everything worked out just right. I would, if we had another hackathon and they gave us $20, yeah, I would do it again.
Yep. Now here's the crappy thing. My son does DoorDash. He does about an hour a day. He could do more, but that's usually all he wants to do. And he gets a little money from it. You know, I think he made $600 like the first couple of months he did it. But he had recently like a big order, like a huge massive order, and had to go into this office, all right? So and we're probably talking, I'd say probably $100, $200 worth of stuff. And it was being delivered, and they're like, oh, we're having a meeting, so we're ordering food in. And that's what they told my wife and son when they were dropping off food. But after they delivered it and all that, you know how much a tip he got from this place?
What?
Nothing.
Really?
He made $7 on the whole order.
Seriously, I would figure that a business.
It was a business order. Exactly. It's like we've done like, now I remember when I first joined the cloud team, when I went down they had their training week down in, Lake Mary, Florida. And the boss there, she, you know, actually there was a couple cool things they did. Like there was one way, I think, I don't know if it was DoorDash or Grubhub or something. But basically, she sent us a code, and then we all logged in the website with our own credentials, telling where we are at. Well, actually, they didn't tell them where we were at. Once we plugged in the code, they already had everything that they needed, and we just picked what we wanted. All right, and then all the bill went to, you know, to the head manager that was there.
But you all ordered from the same place, right?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I forget. I don't know if it was like through DoorDash or Grubhub or something. It might have just been through that store. But well, we did that once down there. But then other things too, like whenever I travel, like when I was flying back, when I was waiting for my flight, I went and grabbed a sandwich at the Jersey Mike's. At the airport, probably cost me a lot more than it would have outside the airport, but you know, hey, I wasn't paying for it. So did I tip them? Even though it was just a stand? Yeah, I tipped them a couple bucks. You know, I'm like, or if I had a sit down or something, like event, well, I don't do a lot as much travel as I used to do. I kind of miss it a little bit, but one of the things for the next year, I want to make sure I get my, passport so that probably not going to happen this year, but in February my boss is going to over to the India team in Bangalore, and they're gonna have a training week there for them, and So they're doing that. But I can get a chance to go to India some year if I have something I want to train them on. So, but that's something I'd like to do. I've never had a passport because I've never been outside the country. So I'm thinking about doing that, but I miss that kind of thing. But whenever I'm traveling, I have they gave us all corporate cards. So I just walk up, pay for it. Then I put it on my expense report. And I put the tip on the expense report too. I tip as good, if not better, when I'm traveling for work. Cause I absolutely appreciate it. But yeah, I don't get companies and people that just don't tip them when you go through those companies. But
you know what? Since your son does this, you have the inside information. How much do they get paid? Like they don't get paid hourly, right?
No.
So
it's like her delivery.
So do they get like a cut of the delivery fee?
Yeah. So a part of the fee is going to go to the driver. And then you will get, so you'll get a part of that. Plus you'll get, I think they do all the tip. I think all the tip goes to the driver. But now here's the screwy thing too. I'm usually Grubhub is my go-to because of I still have to pay like at least one of the fees, but most of it's taken care of by my I have basically what they call Grubhub Plus because I got an Amazon Prime account, right? So I ordered Taco Bell once just because I was freaking tired and lazy. I didn't want to get in the car, right? So I ordered, get some things on the menu. Ordered it. It gets here. Half of my food is gone. Basically, I ordered those rolled tacos. Come to find out, the store, because later on that week, I decided, well, let me see if they have them again or at the store. And I went there and this time I'll use the Taco Bell has their own app. So you basically order it on the app. And then when you pull up to the drive thru, you say, hey, I'm here to get my food. Right. Well, I did that. And they say, well, we don't have the rolled tacos anymore. And I'm like, it's on your menu. And he's like, yeah, we don't have it. Like, would you like me to cancel that part or would you want something else? I'm like, just give me, I think I said the chicken chipotle wrap, which that's pretty good for Taco Bell and fairly small. But, so that's what I got. And it's like, well, if you don't have some, when I ordered it from Grubhub, they just didn't send it. I'm like, if you don't have something, you might want to call the customer and say, hey, they don't have this. Do you want something else? It's like, oh well, that doesn't happen often. The one place that always gets my meal right is when we order from McDonald's, which isn't often, maybe once a month, if that.
Get 1 year free at Grubhub Plus with Amazon Prime.
Yep, that's it. That's exactly what I have. Actually, I think they continue to give it to you as well, or at least some benefit from it. I do use DoorDash because, see, I end up using – the only thing I don't use that much is Uber Eats. I have an account. I just haven't used it. Between Grubhub and DoorDash, I get almost anything. And DoorDash usually has more of the mom-and-pop places. Like there's a place – well, it's a small chain, but it's only really in the Ohio area called Pizza Cottage. One of my favorite things they have is they have a BLT pizza. So basically, it's got pizza like things, but of course it has bacon, lettuce, tomato on it, but it's got two crusts. So it's got a bottom crust and a top crust. So it's like you're eating a BLT sandwich almost, but it looks like a pizza. And it's really delicious. It's good stuff. So I'll order that. That one I can get from DoorDash. Tammy's I get from DoorDash. I was just looking at Grubhub, one of the places I ordered from it once. It's a place Dave would absolutely probably love. It's not Hubert's. It's a place called Pierogi Mountain. You'd probably love it.
Sounds good.
Yep.
I love pierogies, man.
Oh, me too. Well, part of my life, I grew up in the Pittsburgh area, and that's a huge thing in the Pittsburgh area is pierogi. And, maybe that's what I'll do tomorrow, because usually what ends up, happening Thursdays, I've got my, fitness boot camp thing at church that I go to, and I'll order something. I like to schedule it. So like about 3 o'clock or so, I'll fire it up on the phone and schedule the delivery to come so that it gets to the house right about 5 o'clock. So I have time to eat and then get ready to go over to church. And, that's what I'll do tomorrow. And usually that's also the day my son wants to do some practice bowling. So the wife will take him over to Stardust Lanes and they'll get something either on the way home or at the lanes. And, I'll order whatever I want, which is good because, you know, a lot of times, like, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times when we're getting ready to order food out or go to a restaurant or something, you say, what do y'all want for dinner? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, I say, how about this place? No. And I'm like, well, you must know because you're just not telling me. Everyone has that discussion at their house. I'm convinced of that.
Speaking of house, I got my Google Nest thermostat in last week and installed it. Yeah. I had to cut the power off, of course. And when I did, my trip light UPS in here in this server room quit working. So that was the casualty. But it install was easy. It's working. And it does heat and cool. It'll switch between heating and cooling all on its own. So.
On your UPS, can you fix it? Is it just new battery maybe?
I turn it on and it says it's fully charged, but then it just goes right off. So I'm not diagnosed.
Oh. Okay. It could be a battery. I don't know. What you could do on those is tear them apart and pull the battery out, take it with you over to Batteries Plus or something and get a new one.
Okay.
You should try that.
I will.
In fact, I know some people who will purposely take like if they have them at a flea market, at a ham fest or something, they'll buy those old ones and that's what they do. So buy them, they'll pull the battery out and they work usually. Those APCs and stuff like that. It depends. Not all of them are like that. Like we had ones that we had at our desk when I was at, Columbus State. Cause it was at that time where we didn't have a VPN. All right. So wait a minute. We had a VPN. We had a VPN, but our laptops may not had all the software that our desktops had on it. So we remoted into the desktop lot. And we wanted the UPSs on those. And, they got us like these really cheap ones. I think they were Belkin. And the only way you could open them up was to break the case on the outside of it.
this one's serviceable. It's got 5 Phillips head screws. I can take
it. There you
go. Apart.
That should work. Yep. That should work. I did email. I ordered my Raspberry Pi 5 from SparkFun. Still don't have it. Been waiting for it since October. And I did at least get an answer. Let me look at it on my phone instead of let's see. I hate it when that falls down below. And so let's see. The answer for this is we are actively receiving stock of the Pi 5 and its accessories and fulfilling orders as quickly as possible. We fulfill orders from oldest to newest, so depending on your spot in the queue, your order may not be fulfilled with our next shipment of stock. We have many more shipments scheduled to fulfill our thousands of orders for the Pi 5. Unfortunately, she can't provide a more specific timeline. Then the next paragraph was, our first shipments of the Pi 5 8GB, which is what I ordered, was significantly smaller than we were expecting, and we are largely at the mercy of Raspberry Pi as to when and how much stock we receive. She apologized again. She's sorry. Can't provide a better timeline, but it's not because we're withholding the information. We simply don't have it. So, anyway, last checked, it's funny. On the accessory order, they'll get certain things in, and then those ones will turn, like, instead of saying back ordered, they just look normal. But then there's always one or two things on the list that are not there, so that's holding that shipment up. Alright. So right now, today, last I looked, everything in that order was there except for the power supply. So, maybe if that comes in tomorrow, they'll send that one. I'll get the accessories first. I don't really care. I just want my stuff.
But did you pre-order it or was it available, you know?
I ordered it. Did technically pre-order it, yeah. Because it didn't really start shipping until later in October. And I ordered on October 1st, a few days after the announcement.
Remember, I mean, it's been 2 months.
Oh, you ordered too?
No, not.
Oh, okay. It just pisses me off that I'll see ads from Phil Rose on Facebook, and I'm like, seriously? Anywho. But I'm looking forward to that. I got my new, I got a 32 gig stick of RAM for my, laptop that I got Creative Cloud running on it. So I threw that in there this evening. If I have to make a pet peeve for, and this goes for not just Asus who made that laptop, but any manufacturers, make all the damn screws that go into that bottom of the laptop the same fucking size. I spent probably a half hour after I got it all in trying to find the right combination of screws to get all the screws into the bottom of the laptop. I'm like, good God. So next time I take it apart, I'm gonna get like four dividers, like an ice cube tray, and put all the ones on the across the back in one hole, all the ones across the front in one hole, and then the ones on the left in one hole, and the ones on the right in one hole, and the ones in the middle in another hole. That way, at least I know where each one goes. It's like, I did get them all back in though, so. But, you know, what'd you say, Dave?
That just reminded me of this Nest thermostat. I had like seven right. different wires, and it came with labels, which was a lifesaver.
Here you go.
Stickers you could label the wires with.
Yep. So put it in. You've got Corsair Vengeance, I think. It was like $50. And I think when I get enough money for another M2 drive, I'm going to get that, and I'm going to probably set it up to dual boot Linux. Yeah, it's Corsair Vengeance 32 gig SODIMM DDR4. So that laptop has 8 gigs of its RAM soldered in. So the 8 gig had to take the existing 8 gig stick out and put the new one in. So I have right around 39 gigabytes. So, and I think it would be, I think it's maxed out. I don't think it'll take a 64 gig SODIMM. But it's much faster, at least my upon initial inspection. Played around with it a little bit right before the show. It's one of those things where... go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, speaking of laptops, unblacklisting that AMD 64 microcode line on my wife's laptop last week. It's not locked up since, but it's only been 7 days.
There you go.
Not complained about it any.
Dan, you got a Pixel, so you're getting an update. Should be getting an update today.
Update for what?
The December feature release update.
I got a Pixel 7 on Verizon, and I've not gotten it yet. I've checked a couple of times, but
I my 6 Pro is also on Verizon, but I went ahead the last few updates. I hadn't had a Verizon specific update, so I decided to sideload it, and it worked fine. Basically, enable USB debugging. You have to have the Android platform tools.
Wait, what version of Android's out? What's the latest version?
14.
14 with December updates.
Okay, I'm on 13. I don't think my phone's getting 14.
Pixel, you
which
have?
Which one?
Pixel 4a.
That's why. Yep, that's why.
Bastards.
It's supposed to have a feature update. Now, I know on the 8 Pro, they put on their the interface for their new Gemini AI, which you can probably mess with since you're a Google Cloud guy, Dan. I don't know if you started using AI yet, but Google has their Gemini AI, which is available through Google Cloud.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of that. We are not using it specifically yet, but I think they want us to.
That's cool. We're supposed to be starting to add it to our some of our products. I think they're adding it to ServiceNow is going to have it. I'm like, can you screw it up more, please? Make it slower.
I'll tell you what, I don't know. I think I need to get a new phone soon, particularly because of the charging port. It is such a problem.
That's what happened with my Pixel 5 was the charging port.
Like what I have to do at night is I have to take it out of the case. I have to take the cord and I have to put a book on top of the cord so it doesn't move. And then I got to put the cord into my, the USB-C end in, and I got to angle it a specific way.
Yep.
And it's been like that for like over a year now. And it's so annoying. Like plugged in, I can't get a charge off of it down here.
I am seeing good deals on the Pixel 8 Pro, but it's still going to be pricey, more than you want to pay.
Oh yeah, how much is it? Maybe I do want to pay.
$800. That's the one deal I saw on it, and that's this year's phone.
That's more than I want to pay.
Plus foldable had some really good deals on it with trade-in.
Yeah.
$800.
Now I'm hearing a lot good about the
Dave's house didn't even cost $800, right? Dave?
What's the I want to say opening up, but that's not it. OnePlus One. The OnePlus One foldable, I've heard some good things about it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be one of the best on the market, and it was supposed to be a pretty serious deal with a trade-in.
And the one thing I've heard about that about the OnePlus One foldable is that the crease is barely noticeable.
Well, you know what? I can forego the fold altogether and not worry about a crease.
Well, that's what I say too.
What's that, Dave?
I said, there you go. I don't need a phone that folds.
Yeah, nobody needs a folding phone. Piece of shit.
I'm fine. man with a tablet and a phone. There is one I'm semi-interested in.
They suck.
Well, see, that's part of the problem. Yeah, I was looking at ETA Prime, who YouTuber ETA Prime. He does a lot of stuff with Raspberry Pis and tablets and stuff. He just posted a video of the Lenovo Legion Y700 gaming tablet. And it's got a lot of nice features and all that, but guess what version of Android it has on it? 13. No, it's not that bad, Dave. It's 13. And I'm like,
why the hell would I want a gaming tablet to play Android games?
Yeah, I know. Well, and it's also about $500
too. I'd rather just
get
a Steam Deck at that point.
Right?
Get something that plays real games. Right, right, Joe?
Right, Joe?
Steam Deck or Logitech G or the Lenovo's looks
Legion
pretty good,
Go.
Too. Yeah, Legion Go.
I heard Dave asked for a Steam Deck for his birthday, and his wife was like, nah. You're getting a Jenga game, and that's it.
The Asus ROG Ally. Yeah, if you're spending that much to play games, what'd you say? The Ally?
No, the 1X. 1X line.
Okay, yeah. But those, and those actually, you know, technically they're PCs. You know, if you couldn't find what you wanted directly on the Windows version of Steam, you could probably load Linux on it.
Three that has the slide-up screen to reveal the keyboard?
Yep. Oh, the GPD WinX 3? Yeah. Yeah.
Sony Vaio Ultra Mobile PCs.
The older ones, yeah.
But I don't think they ever worked really well.
No, they didn't. I always wanted one, but
oh, me too.
Or the OQO. Nokia, the thing I don't get about the Xumpsies and the OQO, if you look on eBay for one of those, dude, they're like $300 or $400 still. It's like not paying.
There wasn't that much market share for them, so not many of them got sold, and so they're a collector's item.
They truly are, yeah. Especially the OQO definitely is, because they're gone as a company, so.
I found a 13-year-old Fire that we got my daughter for Christmas or birthday back in 2012.
Oh, Fire tablet?
Yeah. I don't know what to do with it.
Those never were good.
No, they were like $49, and they were garbage then. They're garbage. It still boots up. I charged it, but you can't even register it. I was thinking, you know, my wife doesn't use her Kindle that often, and this is younger than her Kindle, and her Kindle still works. I thought,
probably root and ROM it, but there's still probably not a whole lot of point in that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think
now, there are some decent prices on. I was looking, I just looked on eBay, I typed in UMPC, and one of the things that came up was a GPD Pocket, for $259. This is 8 GB RAM, 128 GB, SSD, with Windows on it, which, you know, I'd rip that sucker out and put Linux on it. You can run Steam and a lot of games with Proton. That's not too bad of a price for one of those little ultra mobiles.
Dun dun. You know what? Here's something I did this weekend. That I don't usually do. I don't think anybody, I maybe that's changing. I actually went to Barnes & Noble. Do you know what that is, Dave?
Yeah.
Barnes & Noble, you have
Dead
one
trees.
Of those?
I think there's still one. I
it's
think
like
there's still
Walden
one in Greenville.
Books, but, you know, bigger. Still in business.
Right? What's that, Dave?
Like Barton Books said, bigger. They had the Nook and it competed with the Kindle.
Yeah.
Back then, yeah, yeah.
So, it looks like it was a little hopping, and my wife had commented that it looks like magazine section is a little bigger than it was before, and maybe magazines are starting to make a little bit of a comeback. The only magazines I saw there that I was interested in and looking at the computer section, I only saw Linux, Arduino, and like Raspberry Pi magazines. I don't even recall seeing a Windows magazine.
No, there ain't any of those.
What, the 2600?
I didn't even notice the 2600. Now, I didn't spend too much time. I just glanced over there and looked at some stuff. Like, I think it was Linux Format or Linux Magazine, one of the UK ones, I guess it was. They have an AI issue this month, but.
The price on those?
Did I look at the price? No.
Yeah, they're expensive.
I didn't want to cry.
$25 for a freaking magazine.
Are they freaking $25 a copy? I was going to say like maybe $12, $15, but $25.
But see, the last time I looked, it was $17.
I say some of those Raspberry Pi ones, though, they're not monthly. They're quarterly, which is why they cost that much.
I think Magpie is still monthly, but that's an EU distribution, and it does come here. Because I remember when they got the,
download the Magpies?
Yeah, yeah, you can download Magpies for free. But, like, they had the, when the Raspberry Pi Zero first came out, the first one.
Right.
Like, it was attached to the Magpie magazine, and you could not find one for the love of money.
Of course not.
No, I would pay $25 for that, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem I have with like paying, almost buying a magazine if it was $10, is that you just get all that content online for free.
To hold it in their hand.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. For me, I want to see them succeed, but man, I can't afford that. That's expensive. $25.
I gotta think magazines are still dying though. We get.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, my wife bought a Subaru back in.
And they're just changing format.
Yeah, well, yeah, not dying, but the print medium.
Subaru Drive magazine
in the mail, but this was the last issue ever because it's bad for the environment. But you know, it just costs too much to make them too.
Wait, what came last in the mail?
But the last print issue was delivered today. They're not going to. Make
of
the
what?
Magazine. This Subaru magazine that we get.
A Subaru magazine?
Because your wife bought a Subaru.
Yeah, it's called Subaru Drive or something. It's a legit magazine, but it's selling Subarus at the same time. But
I mean, it's so much cheaper just to send someone a digital copy than it is to send them a magazine. So.
Yep. It's like a guy from Creek Stewart who was, he's that guy that did Fat Guys in the Woods on the Weather Channel. He has like a company, like I think isn't the name of his box, it's like a box, like the old, like you remember how,
Weed
what
box.
Was it? Well, I'm trying to remember the one
send
with
you
the
curated
GQ
blend
stuff
of
in.
Weed every week, right, Joel?
You know what? You talk about that, Dan, but guess what's legal recreationally in Ohio tomorrow?
I know. I'm aware of that. I know. You're going to get your bill dog in some edibles?
In a doobie.
suppository format.
There you go.
Now, I bet that would work.
It probably would.
What? A THC suppository?
Oh, yeah.
Dave's got one in right now.
So, it's like, but Creek Stewart's box thing is like a pocket, maybe it's called a pocket box. I'd have to look. But he'll sell these boxes that have like it has like a bushcraft or survival craft that you can learn. Like, one time he might send out a bow drill for, teach your stuff how to start a fire with a bow drill. Alright.
Well,
he also bow drill.
The string and a piece of wood.
Oh, Okay. He sends you out a bow drill or to keep...
Yes. Yes.
You got
two pieces of wood.
Yeah, you got the dowel.
I could probably make one with my pocket knife and some string. So, I mean, it's not, you know... although his are kind of nice, you know. But, you know, so we'll have something like that. But he also does books, too. And I got email from him, and it had... Hey, go here, put this code in, you could download a free book. So I did that, and then I got another email that says, hey, you can download these three free books.
I think you mentioned that last week.
Yes, I did.
And you got a book on survival?
Yeah, the one that was the first one I got was the Pocket Field Guide to Solar, it says solar interior, but basically... It's how to start a fire using the sun. All right.
That's the whole book?
Basically, it's a small one, yeah.
The whole book is how to start a fire with sun.
Yes, basically. It's a small book, dude. It's a little pocket guide, okay?
They call that a pamphlet, don't they?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Then I got one on how to make your own bug out list.
That's just making the list.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
What do you think about it?
Is that another pamphlet?
Hey, it's got useful information. Okay?
Empty your bug out bag into a vest.
I think you said list. Did you say vest or list?
Vest.
I said vest.
Oh, I
thought you said list.
I did too.
No. And a tarp, one on tarp shelters, and then the other one was survival knots. So...
These sound like chapters from a book.
Basically. Yeah, they're not very big, yeah.
So now if the HOA comes to get you, you can hide out in your backyard and they will never find you, right?
Because you have half a
book. I wouldn't be in the backyard, but, you know. That's why you have the bug out list to get away from your house.
Oh, so you'll be in the cornfield across the street.
There ain't no cornfield in my area. So there is some around here, but you know, not around my house. You know, but
you could use them at the Renaissance Fair.
I'm trying to think. I might already be over this year. Ohio does have one, but never been.
I drove by it my first trip to OLF. I think it used to be in September.
Yep.
Drive by what?
The Ohio Renaissance Fair.
Oh.
Yep, Ohio Renaissance Fair.
I didn't stop. I just drove. It was going on. I saw it.
Dave chucked the finger out the window and kept going, right?
Let me tell you, you go to them things, you're probably going to smell some odoriferous odors, man. Let me tell you. But.
Take a big whiff and you'll be like, Joel's around here somewhere, right? But did you go to the Renaissance Fair this year?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't probably.
Have you ever been to one, Dan?
No, I haven't. The closest I've been is Poe Fest, but not a Renaissance Fair.
I've never been to one.
I would go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to travel and listen to me. Dan, I'm not going, but I'm not going to travel to go.
Right? Yeah. I could see Dan hanging out at the Renaissance Fair with a big old turkey leg.
No, I'm picky on my turkey legs these days. Although, you know, you could just go in a burlap sack and be a beggar, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, now, I opened that knot book. It's actually 56 pages long.
Oh.
A lot of knots I already know, like half hit. Overhand knot. Who doesn't know what an overhand knot is? Square knot.
Hi.
It's useful.
Can I have
the
cookies?
Okay. Love you. No, she can't.
It's getting close to the end of the bye week period, so the refresh is coming on Saturday. I gotta go to the store early on Saturday because you know it's. I couldn't go last week, but you know what this weekend is. Got someone minus one.
Minus one.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I watched the trailer for that. It does look good.
Oh man, I'm so stoked to go see it. I wanted to see it last weekend, but swimming meets all weekend.
I'm waiting for the Marvels to hit Disney Plus, which should be soon now from what I've heard.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen for me too. I mean, I would go to, I don't have time to go see it. Whatever.
Lowest amount brought in by a Marvel movie ever.
What?
You want statistics? Yeah, the Marvels is the lowest MCU movie.
What?
Money-wise.
Another movie coming up, Aquaman. It's Aquaman 3, right?
I don't know.
Dave should know. Dave's the DC
That's
man.
That's the one with what's
I
her face
I want to say it's 2.
I thought they already had an Aquaman sequel. You know what? Maybe I'm thinking of Aquaman, and I've not seen either Aquaman. Oh, it is Aquaman 2. I didn't see Aquaman 1.
Did they bring out an Ultraman show on Netflix?
Yes, they did. That was a while ago, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
Hey, what did you think of Kevin Smith's He-Man?
Wait. Yeah. This isn't the new one, right? This is the previous one?
Well, it's the new one.
Wait, which one are you talking about? When did it come out?
2 years ago, and then second season was last year? Or this last year?
But talking about Ultraman or He-Man?
He-Man.
Well, Joel was talking about Ultraman. You brought up He-Man.
Right.
And that's the one where Teela found out that he was Adam. And was pissed, right?
Dead, and then they have to bring him back from the dead.
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't know if I saw the second season. What was the second season then?
Skeletor or something?
Oh.
Wait, what? There's 3 seasons?
I don't think I've even seen all the second season.
Wait a minute. This doesn't look like the He-Man I watched.
It's like a little red He-Man.
There are 3 seasons of the Ultraman on Netflix, though.
Wait.
See,
this isn't the Netflix He-Man. Wait, I mean, this isn't the
it is
Kevin
on Netflix,
Smith He-Man.
It was.
Wait, did? Oh, he did Masters of the Universe Revelation.
Yeah,
and that is not. Okay, because if you look up He-Man on Netflix, there's one that came out in 2022, which is not the one I'm thinking
of. Same time.
It was a She-Ra.
I watched the She-Ra, all of them, and I really liked it.
I liked what I saw. I didn't watch it a lot.
And so Masters of the Universe Revelation was the one where I guess He-Man died and Teela found out that Prince Adam was He-Man and then he got killed by Skeletor and they had to bring him back. That's the one we're talking about, right?
That's the one I saw.
Okay. Cause there's another one that has kind of like computer generated animation that's goofy.
No, I didn't see that one.
Okay. That came out in 2022, but they're supposed to be making another follow up to Masters of the Universe Revelation. Anyway, sorry.
I thought they did two.
What?
I thought they did 2 seasons so far of Masters of the Universe Revelation. Or is it three? How many seasons have they done so far?
Wait a minute. Wait, it seems like they have two seasons. I thought they only had one season.
Huh.
Mark Hamill is Skeletor.
Wait, I'm going to go right to the damn...
Dietrich Bader is King Randall. Danny Trejo is Ram Man.
And then next year comes the final season of Cobra Kai.
I've not seen that.
Oh, you need to watch it. You need to watch it. It was really good. If you like the Karate Kid movie, you should like it. All five seasons are out on Netflix now. See, and that started out on YouTube, believe it or not.
Original shows.
Yep.
Steven Root is the voice of Cringer.
Steven Root? That one makes sense.
So, Masters of the Universe Revelation had two parts. Each with, looks like, five episodes. And then there's also now a Masters of the Universe Revolution. I don't think that's out yet. Okay, sorry. Yeah, that's not out yet. It's only advertised. And then there's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which was 2022 and looks stupid. I mean, like the characters look like they took a barrel and used toothpicks for legs. It looks so ridiculous. Awful. Although the Castlevania one is really good.
Now, I watched, what was it?
And Voltron.
The first couple seasons I didn't mind Voltron, but I couldn't get into it after that.
Alright.
Voltron. Because they did so many different remakes of Voltron. Remakes, continuations, everything else of Voltron. You never knew what the heck was going on.
I think that's part of the problem with it. With me. It's like I never did like Firefly, not even when it was on
TV. How dare you?
On TV. Never did.
Firefly was awesome.
Oh, I'm sure it was. I just never could get into it.
Might have been the losing side, don't mean it was the wrong side. Right, Dave?
Yep.
I love that. Oh, you know what?
No way.
I watched this spot-on commentary by this YouTube personality that I watch. His name is Drew Gooden. And his latest episode is called How Much More Star Wars Do We Need? And it was, I thought it was spot on exactly how I feel about what they have been doing with Star Wars.
He could have written that article or whatever that was. He could have done that back in the last Star Wars movie I saw.
Which was the last one you saw?
I can't remember the number.
Empire Strikes Back was the last one Dave saw.
The one where Princess Leia.
He went to the talkies.
The Rise of Skywalker.
I don't know the name of it. I can't remember. I saw it one
time. The Last Jedi.
Princess Leia does this force spacewalk.
Yeah, that's The Last Jedi.
Oh, that was awful. I was embarrassed. I had secondhand embarrassment watching it. It was bad.
Not that the Rise of Skywalker was any better.
My brother, he's 4 years younger than me, he's still into him. I'm still excited about it, but I lost interest after that.
See, the Rise of Skywalker, you find out that Rey is Emperor Palpatine's granddaughter.
Okay. I probably knew that. I mean, I know some stuff in the movies I've not seen because my brothers told me, but trying to get me excited about it. But I've lost interest in Star Wars.
I'm hoping that the new next season, The Mandalorian, isn't awful.
I mean,
but
the Mandalorian was good. Rogue One was good. I've not seen any of the new TV shows.
I'll tell you what, Dave. If you liked Rogue One, you're going to love Andor.
That's what my brother said.
It is so good.
I did watch The Mandalorian.
Oh, okay.
And see, you know what? I like The Mandalorian, and I love Andor. And the two things that those have in common are that they don't fucking deal with Skywalkers.
Yep. Yeah, right. The original stories. That's why I'm looking forward to Rebel Moon. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, then you got
Ashoka. What
one? Ashoka. Yeah, I started. I only watched a couple episodes of it, and I'm like,
It's one of the. I haven't finished it, and I guess one of the big complaints that Drew had made, and I agree, is that the Ashoka's apprentice is the only person that you ever see in any movie or show that gets stabbed with a lightsaber and lives. Like every other person, dead.
That. Is Ashoka, that's the one that's got Grand Admiral Thrawn in it.
Yeah.
I remember that character being introduced in the,
Clone Wars.
What? No, it was
Heir to the Empire. Of the Empire.
I think it was called Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
No.
Is that a Star Wars novel?
Nope. Well, that is, but that was well before. That was like.
Yeah, and then there was the Thrawn
Return
trilogy.
Return of the Jedi's
out. But,
it's in the Thrawn trilogy, is where
none,
it was.
None of
that's
that,
where.
I think that exists anymore.
According to Disney, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I thought Ron was in that book. Was he not?
Not Splinter of the Mind's Eye. That was Darth Vader.
I could have sworn Ron was a character in that book.
No, Thrawn is in Heir to the Empire and the Dark Force Rising, and then I forget what the last one is.
I must have read some of those others then, because I remember him reading him in the books before.
See, what we don't know, you know, because parts of that series is technically canon now, because Ben Skywalker, who is Kylo Ren, he existed in that book series too.
Three kids.
But you don't find out about whether they actually had the twins at the beginning, which is the first two kids. Was it Jason and Jaina, or I forget what it was. Been a while since I read that book series.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I read any of those books. But yeah, was the twins, and then there was Ben.
Yep. And that's kind of the thing that disappointed me the most with these new Star Wars movies that came out. They had a built-in story. All they had to do is grab those books and make them work you know, make a script out of them damn books.
Could you imagine and a it book made series a fantastic... based on, like, the Jedi Academy trilogy?
Or even the Heir to the Empire series. I mean, that would have been so cool. But did they do that? Nope.
I will say that the books kind of started contradicting each other later on.
They did.
It was all supposed to go through Lucas's company, and I guess his review system wasn't all that great because there were direct contradictions, and then, like, people couldn't decide what to do with Mara Jade. Some of the authors really liked her, and it's like, oh, well,
right.
she's going to marry Luke, and then the next one's like, nope. Get rid of her. She ran away. Here's a new girlfriend. And then they're like, nope, here's Mara Jade again.
Well, Heir to the Empire, that happened, so.
Are y'all excited about Rebel Moon or not? I mean, that started out as a Star Wars pitch. Zack Snyder.
I don't even know anything about it.
Coming out December 22nd. He originally pitched it to Lucas or Disney One, I don't know what year, but as a Star Wars story, but it had no existing characters and it was going to be R-rated, so they turned it down. But it's a space opera. It's sort of like Seven Samurai in space. You should watch the trailer. It looks great. Really looking forward to that.
I watched Solo and was not impressed.
Solo.
Yeah. When the Millennium Falcon looked like it was brand new.
I'm gonna get going.
Yeah, it's time to go.
Yeah, we gotta wrap this up. Dave's gotta get
there
them
go.
Suppositories made for Christmas. Candy
goose
pepper. Oh man, what are we? That's not it. That's not it. That's not. Oh, here we go. All right, so this is actually when I do have it all fixed now on the website and everything. So we're good. And now you can have your
promos,
show outros and promos. Just like you wanted them. And we'll see you in a week. Thank you, everybody. Stay safe, stay warm. Here you go.
I am short.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called Libre Quest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Norman Lear died today. Or yesterday.
Who?
Norman Lear. He's the guy who made Archie Bunker. All in the Family. Good Times. Bunch of stuff. Actually, one I remember from that time period in my life was Chico and the Man. You ever seen that one?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Freddie Prinze Jr. in that? Freddie Prinze Sr.?
Yep. Chico and the Man, then you had Sanford and Son. That's Norman Lear. All in the Family, Archie Bunker's Place, Jeffersons, all those shows. Shows that you probably couldn't make anymore.
Couldn't make The Office nowadays. Or Seinfeld.
That's probably true there, yeah.
You know what? I was surprised to find that Ron Jeremy is still alive.
Isn't he in jail, though, I thought?
He's been in court a lot.
They just released him because he has, like, really bad dementia, and they say he can't, like, represent or, like, stand trial because he's just completely out of it now.
He probably couldn't do a film unless he took Viagra.
Well, I don't know. If you have dementia, I don't know that you will be working in the adult film industry.
Probably not.
Dave Yates worked in the adult film industry, didn't you? Ay.
That good old hedgehog.
You getting a Christmas tree this year, Dave?
And it's been up for a long time already.
It's been up since October.
Yeah. I know.
Holy crap. You get it early.
I got one kid left at home, and she swears it helps her serotonin levels. So, thing we can do.
One thing we got today, Dan, is we had that breakfast room, which is basically there's the island and the kitchen, and then to the other side of that is what they call the breakfast room, which is basically this small space right before the sliding doors. And it has this hanging tree in there, so it's designed that you put like a table there. So we finally got table and chairs to put in there. So we got two tables. Yeah,
oh, that's nice.
Kind of nice. Yeah, that way you don't have to go into the main dining area. Eventually, what I need to do is I need to cart the table that we got in the dining room outside, and I want to sand off top. To get rid of all the marks and stuff and then put a new finish on it. Cause that table belonged to my grandparents. I'll probably keep that thing as long as I can till it completely falls apart. The chairs are long gone though. Those all, wherever they got that set from, they had the chairs were all, I don't think they were screwed together. I think they were glued together with like carpenter's glue or something. Cause they didn't last at all. So I think I want to refinish that. Either that or just replace it and maybe use the table that's in there now for something else. But.
Honest to goodness. It's not one thing, it's another, right? How's everybody doing?
I'm doing.
Ay. I numbered the show wrong last week. Now it's coming back to bite. I fixed it though, but now it's coming back to bite me in the ass.
Blame Dave.
I do.
He told you the wrong number.
All right.
All right, Dave.
You ready?
You had one job.
Right?
I'm almost ready. I'm seeing if this fixes my problem. It's really annoying.
You got Joel fixed?
Yeah.
I'm fixed.
That's what we did. We didn't want any more little Jolies running around. You know how it goes.
Don't matter. We can't have any more anyway.
Joel had his penis removed.
No on that.
Got it turned into a dill dog.
A dill dog.
And Dave Yates didn't even notice.
Well, I didn't
that's what he was eating.
Oh.
I did have a hot dog for dinner.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was in Nathan's.
Just one hot dog?
Yeah, I just had one.
Yes, oh. Boy.
It's a big one. It's one of those
big meat in
quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
I had a hamburger.
I knew. That sounds excellent.
I almost had a hamburger.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
There you go.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
There we go. Now we got it. Now we got it all going on. That's all we need to do. You're sorry, Joe.
Recipe.
Sorry,
yeah. Where's Peg Wallet is in his sweatpants?
Oh, you want Peg Wallet's sweatpants? You know what I said to my wife today, Dave?
What?
I said, not only is that suppository going to feel good, it's going to taste good. And you have
That's
Dave to thank
said.
For that.
That's what she said.
Joe's trying to tell us what he ate.
I took a pound of hamburger and, not hamburger, ground turkey. Nope, ground chicken. That's what it was, ground chicken. And,
meat.
Yeah, mixed it with, some street taco flavoring from like Old El Paso or something. And
nice.
Put in a couple of servings of pico de gallo. And then I put it on a tortilla. And put it face down so the meat was down until it fried. And then flipped it over and put a piece of cheese on it. And I made six of them. I only ate three of them. So,
you got
roundabout,
creative.
Yeah, roundabout's 560 calories. And it was extremely good.
That's cool. What episode is this, Joe?
You're asking the wrong person.
You tell me.
There you go.
1,228.
No.
1,228.
No. 1,029. No.
8.
No.
1,030.
Yes. 1,030. Oh, you were close, Joe. You were just off by like 200.
200, yeah.
Well, actually, it'd be what?
Yeah, 202.
I thought you said 2,029.
What threw me is I looked earlier and I saw you had two 1,026s.
What?
Well, that's what Google Podcast app said.
Oh, that thing. Yeah, that should be fixed. Wait a minute.
We're waiting.
Is this is 10:30?
I thought it was 12:06.
Hold on. I have this numbering all off. How did I? Oh, crap.
Still got the
this
wrong
is
number.
1,029.
What is that?
All right. Let me 29. I got a three. Shit.
68.
19. I'm going to fix this after we get the show going. All right.
Where's that other 8-pounder?
It's in Joel's hand.
Well, I thought he was the quarter pounder with it all in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I put, I won't say something weird on it, but I had some, of that, buffalo, it's mayonnaise with buffalo sauce in it.
Okay.
I put that on the hot dog and it was actually really good.
I'll tell you what, after a string of successes, Dave made his first failure when he tried to introduce buffalo-style suppositories.
Oh, man.
Ghost pepper-flavored suppositories.
That'd be a little fiery.
That is like a Far Side cartoon caption.
Guy sitting on a toilet and flame shooting out of his ass.
I'll get things going, though.
Ever.
Oh, my goodness. All right. This is one thousand. You got it right. Dave. It's 1,029, not 28. And I got to fix all that.
Yes, you do.
Oh, where am I? Okay, here we go.
Virginia.
Yep. All day, every day. You want to give me a count around, Joel?